हरि ओ सहनावगतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव हरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 7. Sri Narad Muni continued, "These are the general principles to be followed by all human beings. Truthfulness, mercy, austerity, observing fasts on certain days of the month, bathing twice a day, tolerance, discrimination between right and wrong, control of the mind, control of the senses, nonviolence, celibacy, charity, reading of scripture, simplicity, satisfaction, rendering service to saintly persons, gradually taking leave of unnecessary engagements, observing the futility of the unnecessary activities of human society, remaining silent and grave and avoiding unnecessary talk, considering whether one is the body or the soul, distributing food equally to all living entities, both men and animals, seeing every soul, especially in the human form, as part of the Supreme Lord, hearing about the activities and instructions given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the shelter of the saintly persons, chanting about these activities and instructions, always remembering these activities and instructions, trying to render service, performing worship, offering obeisances, becoming a servant, becoming a friend, and surrendering one's whole self. O King Yudhishthira, these 30 qualifications must be acquired in the human form of life. Simply by acquiring these qualifications, one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead." 8 through 12, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. In 5 verses, Bhakti Yoga, common for all humans, is described. The first 21 items are assistant items for bhakti. The items starting with hearing are direct bhakti. Right, so the last 9, those are direct. The first 21 are what's in support of. Right, so that's the point, is having these qualities without bhakti, then, you know, it's nice, but one hasn't actually understood. But the point is, as human beings are supposed to be engaged in devotional service, so they should have that engagement in service, then you cultivate these qualities. Right, so that makes sense. But you're cultivating by performing devotional service. They don't require a separate, endeavor. They'll come up anyway. That's the point. If we know about them, when they come up, we'll take advantage of them. You understand? It's not that you have to separately cultivate truthfulness. What does truthfulness mean? It means understanding the actual truth of things, how it's connected to Krishna. That's actual truth. Right, and then you have straightforward and ordinary dealings. So that means then, in how you're dealing, then that is as truthful as is appropriate for the situation. Right, there's no need to overshare. Right, like that. Does that make sense? Yes.
I was talking to Ali some time ago about sensitivity, Maharaj, and I was asking him for source material on that, and he said that he'd never seen the word used exactly, but he said that you were telling him that in this list, to make any of these things work, you need to have sensitivity. Can you elaborate on that?
Means, if you're going to interact with other persons, then you have to be actually sensitive to what's their mood. Right? It comes from... I don't remember where we came across it. But it's discussing the qualities, how what the boys train in, what the girls train in. It's in Bhagavatam, the purport Prabhupada mentions. I think it's mentioned in the verse also, but in the purport, that the boy is trained in sense control and sensitivity to the needs of the women. And the women, they are trained in chastity and satisfaction. Right. So that's the point. It means you don't have to train women in sensitivity. They're already sensitive. It's just a matter of whether that sensitivity training means is the sensitivity about themselves or about others. The boys aren't sensitive for themselves or for others. Right? You understand? So therefore it needs to be trained. If the girls are chaste and satisfied, then naturally it has to be in consideration of others. But they go together. Right? Girls' satisfaction is boys' sensitivity. Right? Girls' chastity, boys' sense control. They match. Yeah? And if you have sense control, you can have sensitivity. If you have chastity, you can have satisfaction. So makes sense. So that's you could say that's one of the places it's from.
I'll look for that for you, Maharaj.
Okay. But it's in one of the purports. I always thought it was in the story of Prita Maharaj, but I didn't come across it. So it must be in some other... It's one of those ones where you read, oh, it's obvious, and then you can never remember it, and then 10 years later you finally find it again. It's a different canto. Like that.
Maharaj, I heard that Radha Maharaj was saying that when we are developing Krishna consciousness,
yes, but it's not sensitive, meaning that it's a sentimental, or it's sensitive, meaning everything bothers us. It means we're more aware. In other words, you're trying to become conscious, and then in this consciousness become Krishna conscious. So being sensitive means you have to be aware. So then here, observing the futility of the unnecessary activities of human society. People don't see that. Right? It's just like when you're sitting in the airport, for how many hours, right? Just sitting there. Then so many people are walking by, so many things are happening. That's when you notice the observing the futility of unnecessary activities of human society. You know, you can see what people are doing, what's their mood, what's their active mentalities, all these different things. So the ability to observe, but then that means one must be aware, one must be conscious. One must be sensitive. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Gradually taking leave of unnecessary engagements. So you have to be aware of what your engagements are, what is their value to you, what is their value as this in comparison with the standard. And so if it's valuable to you but not valued by the standard, then you know it's something that at some point has to be given up. But it'll be given up by engaging in Krishna service. Then one will get the knowledge and detachment by which then it can be given up because it's not necessary. Right? There's certain activities that are always done. Now, he's not saying giving up bathing twice a day or giving up tolerance or mercy or truthfulness. Right? You're giving up unnecessary. Means it's important to us, we want it, but it's not actually important for our service, you know, in our sadhana, relations with others. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Srila Prabhupada adds, right, yeah. In order that human beings be distinct from the animals, the great Saint Narad Muni recommends that every human being be educated in terms of the above-mentioned 30 qualities. Right, so that means there's an education in that. One, there's going to be the explanation why you should do it. But two, there's going to be the practical activities in which the observation is there of how you execute them, that you can see these. Because as we said, all these will come up in practical application. When you're doing things, that's when you'll see your truthfulness, merciful, austerity, taking your bath, tolerant, discriminating between right and wrong, controlling the mind, controlling the senses, nonviolence, celibacy, charity, reading the scriptures, simplicity, satisfaction, rendering service to saintly persons, gradually taking leave of unnecessary engagements. Right. So These will be seen in practical application. Distributing food equally to all living entities, you get something. Now, is it something you'll share, or is that something you'll go in the corner and hide and eat it? Right? You understand? So they're all practical. So you can talk about the importance of them, what they are, so that one has values them. But it's when you apply the nine processes devotional service, that's when you'll see if these qualities are there or not. Does that make sense? So they're not separately endeavored for. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's not that you, for practicing tolerance, you dress up really, really weird. And they go stand out by the front gate, so when everybody walks in or walks by, everybody will make some, you know, point their fingers, laugh, you know, make some stupid joke, or like this. And so you just sit there and don't get upset, no, don't get angry, we're just being tolerant here. No, that's not what it means. You just do your service. Anyway, there'll be something that makes you upset it. Anyway, you don't have to worry about that. Does that make sense? It's Nowadays, there is propaganda everywhere, all over the world, for a secular state, a state interested only in mundane activities. But if the citizens of the state are not educated in the above-mentioned good qualities, how can there be happiness? Right? How will they be happy? Because if it's the concept of the secular is that those who unnecessarily try to apply the elements of power and influence and wealth using religion as an excuse, right? Because the nature is that religiousness is there, so that those who take advantage of it, then it's to separate that off, right? But it's not to separate properly applied religion, you understand? So then what does that mean? It means that you have good qualities. What does the religion expect? It expects you to have good qualities and all that. So if you separate that off, then you can just go for whatever it is you require. You know, let me say, no, we can do all the nice things together and all that, but actually religion is what makes it that you have to share and be nice and be good. Economics doesn't say that. Economics simply says, don't get caught. That's all it says. Right? Because it's bad for economics when you get caught. Right? So it's religion that's going to say, don't cheat, don't lie, don't steal, don't... The secular state, they may make their laws, but it's only because it works together great as a group. But what's the importance that you should work as a group? Only because you'll get more sense gratification. But the point is I could get sense gratification now by not following the rules. What's to inspire me to follow the rules? Because the only reason to follow the rules is sense gratification. Here's sense gratification. So if I follow the rules, I won't get it. You understand? So how is it going to work? Well, religion says no. Whatever the situation, you're supposed to follow the rules. Right? Because there's a higher purpose to life. One's the soul, not the body. So there's something more than just maintenance of the body. So that's why Prabhupada's pointing out that the secular state will have a weakness there. And it's seen modern education now. They took all the religion out of the school, thinking they're being progressive, this and that. Then all the kids go crazy and no sense of values or morality, nothing. So now they're introducing it back into the system. So that's the thing is, without it, you can't actually run human society. Animals, yes. But humans, no. Right. Yes.
You say that economics is artha, and the process they apply is niti?
Basically. And even that, how much are taught, it's just, they're just being exposed to all kinds of nice things. How much stuff, if you think about one's education, how much of it do you actually use? Right? In English, how much do you use? Right? Remember how much they harass you about spelling? Your phone spells. Right? What about grammar? Your computer does that for you. Right? You know what I'm saying? Mathematics, how much do you actually use? Generally, yeah, calculator, but even if you were going to not use a calculator, you'd use a little arithmetic. Generally, addition, some subtraction, some multiplication, rarely even division. You know, algebra, trigonometry, who's going to use? Right? Algebra, who's going to use it? Geometry, you might use something if you're trying to figure out a few things. But even that, generally, who can remember? Is it 2 pi r or pi r squared? Which one is it? Huh? That's what I'm saying. But which one's circumference? Which one's radius? You know, which one's the volume? Yeah, that's the thing. Which one's which? Because they all have the same thing in it. You know?
There is air cylinder.
Sorry?
Air cylinder and all.
Yeah, so all these things. Yeah, can you what's Pythagoras? Yes. Okay, so there. Okay, so someone can remember it. Someone can remember.
If you have a 90-degree angle, I actually know it.
Yeah, but if you don't have a 90-degree,
then you use sine and cosine.
Yes. So then, how many people remember that?
Not many.
Yeah. Like so that's the whole thing. Is that all the things that you learn? You know, all the South American history really is valuable, right? You know. Yeah. So, I mean, even the American history, who cares? Okay, Lincoln lived in a three-sided cabin. They didn't have a fourth wall on their house. They put the fire on that side to keep out the grizzly bears. Right? Like that. You know? And so, okay. And then he grew up. He had a beard with no mustache. And he supposedly freed the slaves, and he got shot. Now, do I need a whole semester for that? That was one paragraph. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, right? You know? Is it? How you say? Who is it? The guy in the wheelchair.
Stephen Hawking?
No, not that one. Roosevelt.
Roosevelt.
Yeah, he was the only president who went 4 terms. Because of that, people got freaked out because he was getting too much influence. So they cut it down to 2 terms. Right? And how you say? He said, what it go? Speak softly, but carry a big stick. Okay. Do we miss anything? Okay. JFK also got shot, and he seemed to have, you know, averted the Cuban Missile Crisis, right? Unless the guys in the hats did that, but we're not sure. Right? Okay? So like that, you know, Marie Antoinette, she ate cakes and got her head cut off. Louis just got his head cut off. Right? You know what I'm saying? The Kaiser was avaricious, lost the empire. You know? You know what I'm saying? It's just like this. You have a few things that are important and that's it. So technically, you know, probably in you know, some pages you could do the whole world history and whatever it is that you use in a daily life. And the main thing is if you quote these, most people don't even know who you're talking about. They really don't. You know, so unless it's on Twitter or, you know, on the latest thing trending on YouTube, no one even knows what you're talking about. You know? Does that make sense? So therefore, and most all kids already know that without going to school. So then the whole point comes down is what is being given? Because there's no character. Supposedly, by doing this, you'll get a job. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not sure that's, you know, so viable either. You know, between 20% and 40% unemployment, you know. Just think, if you had been working all that time, you would have been getting money. And then possibly you would have gotten yourself situated and everything like that. If not, you have some money. Otherwise, you go to school, just spend money. You go to college, spend even more money, then get out and not get a job. So this is the problem that Prabhupada is talking about. Where is the development of human qualities in all this? That's lacking. That has to be there. So that comes by training in it. Because otherwise it says here, a secular state, a state interested only in mundane activities. And that's only for economics. Okay. But if the citizens of the state are not educated in the above-mentioned good qualities, how can there be happiness? For example, if the total populace is untruthful, how can the state be happy? Therefore, without consideration of one's belonging to sectarian religion, whether Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Buddhist, or any other sect, everyone should be taught to become truthful. Similarly, everyone should be taught to be merciful. Right? So it doesn't matter what your background is, these are the qualities that everybody should have. Right? It means these qualities here. Would a Christian say they're bad to have? No. What about a Muslim? Right? No. Right? Buddhist? No. Nobody's going to say these are bad. So that's the whole point. Everybody should be trained in these. Then if they have their particular faith or this or that, then that's fine. That's up to them. But just to have human society work, you have to have these. Let's see. Therefore, one should chant the holy name of the Lord regardless of differences in linguistic pronunciation. These are the general qualifications of a human being. There's no question of a secular state or an ecclesiastical state. Unless one is educated in the above-mentioned 30 qualities, there cannot be any peace. Right? So there's no tolerance. It means you have an ecclesiastical state, there's no tolerance. So how can anyone be peaceful? Right? Does that make sense? Like that. You know, the Catholics and the Protestants can't tolerate each other, so they kill each other. There's no peace. Right? So it means it's not a matter of this or that. It's a matter of having these qualities and being God conscious. So the Varnashram system will work for everybody. But it's the only universal. We're saying, oh, it's an Indian thing. It's not universal. It's the only thing that's universal. Right? Does that make sense? You know, you're in East Europe. They don't like West Europe. East and West Europe, you know, they're different from Asia. You know, and then East, West, Europe, and Asia are different from the Russians, right? And then you have the Chinese, right? And then and then you have the Africans. That's a whole different culture. The South Americans, a whole different culture. And then all of them will agree that the Americans are something different, right? They're weird, right? So the whole point is the only thing that's universal is Varnashram, is the Vedic system. That's the point. It's being taken as, oh no, it's a regional thing. No, it's actually the universal. It's for human life. But if you want to admit, oh, we're not humans, we're subhumans, therefore we can't follow Varnashram, because actually Varnashram is made for humans, we're not human, then okay, we have something to discuss. But if we're going to say no, we're humans and we don't follow this, then humans follow it. So to say we don't follow it, you know, what's it? Is it oxymoron? Does it make sense? So if you say we're human and we don't need Varnashram, that is an oxymoron. So, yes? No? Yes.
Can you say that everybody on the upper planetary system, they're following it, and we have the intelligence not...
Everyone on the higher planets, everyone on the lower planets. Everyone else on Bhumandala. Right? On all nine Varshas. Only in Bharat Varsha, 1/9 of Bharat Varsha, where we're staying, Bharatakanda, that then you find that there's a lot of people who don't follow. Right? Means there's people who, you know, understand it's good to follow. Then there's a whole bunch of people who basically follow, but it comes from their own tradition, though they do know something goes back to India. Like that. You know, so basically you could say half the planet kind of follows it, more understanding its old tradition, right? And then another major portion of the planet, then they follow things that are quite similar and all that. And then the rest of the planet, they don't like it, but they're still following basic principles anyway, but very unscientifically. Does that make sense? And then we're saying that it doesn't apply, but actually it's the only thing that really does apply. Narad Muni continued, those who have been reformed by the Garbhodan ceremony and other prescribed reformatory methods, performed the Vedic mantras and without interruption, and who have been approved by Lord Brahma are Dwijas, or twice born. Such Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, purified by their family traditions and by their behavior, should worship the Lord. So by their family traditions and by their behavior, means their own behavior, that means what they're doing. The family traditions means what others are establishing. Right? The parents get you to do dress and behave in a certain way. But at some point, your own behavior develops. But in the beginning, it doesn't. So if the samskars are there, it makes it so much easier. Right, so Vaishnavas are naturally Brahmins. That means they naturally follow the samskars. Because if you don't follow the samskars, then that's for Shudras. That's just common, ordinary person. You follow them, that's purified. Therefore, that brings you to the Dwija platform. So of the Dwijas, Brahmins, the best of Brahmins and Vaishnavas. So Vaishnavas naturally then follow the Brahminical standards, which means then these 30 qualities and the samskars. They should worship the Lord, study the Vedas, and give charity. In this system, they should follow the principles of the four ashramas: Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Srila Prabhupada comments. Okay, here. Worship the Lord, study the Vedas, and give in charity. That's common for all the Dwijas. Then, on top of that, the Brahmins can do worship for others, and they can teach others, and they can receive charity. You understand? So the six occupations of a Brahmin, three of them are common for all Dwijas. Does that make sense? So the Prabhupada comments, after giving a general list of 30 qualifications for one's behavior, Narad Muni now describes the principles of the four avarnas and four ashramas. A human being must be trained in the above-mentioned 30 qualities. Otherwise, he is not even a human being. Okay? That's what defines. I mean, we may say, oh, you have to do this or that, and that defines you, but that's not. That's speculative. That's the mode of passion. Right? Because why not these 30, and why something else? The something else because we think of the benefit we'll get. We're avoiding this because of the mode of ignorance. We're accepting something else because of the mode of passion. So, Prabhupada's, you know, it's very clear. He's not saying it's nice, it would be good, or if people took it up, that would be, you know, really swell. You know, no, he doesn't say, he just says, this is the way it is. Right? Then, among such qualified persons, the Varnashram process should be introduced. In the Varnashram system, the first ceremony for purification is Garbhadan, which is performed with mantras at the time of sex for propagating a good child. One who uses sex life not for sensual pleasure but only to beget children, according to the reformatory method, is also accepted as a brahmachari. Okay, so that's a grihastha brahmachari. Right, so you have the brahmachari, the unmarried student, and then the grihastha who follows this, he's also a grihastha brahmachari. Right? Does that make sense? So this is the standard. Then, other than that, at least one's a grihastha, so one is, there is a, what do you call it? What's Manu say? The final mutual fidelity, I think that's what it is. After all the instructions on grihastha life and everything, because he gives the chapters, 3 through 5, and then so many other, then he talks about the kings, then they go back into laws concerning the husband and wife, and all that. At the end of that, then basically it just says if there's mutual fidelity between husband and wife, everything will work. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the minimum. Right? And then, better than that, is Grihastha Brahmacharya. So the one is Grihastha, and this is Grihastha Brahmacharya. Does that make sense? That's the point. So it's not that, you know, oh, this is fanatic. No, this is a Grihastha Brahmachari. Does that make sense? But minimum is, it's just Grihastha. Right? Because if it drops below that, then it drops out of the human system. One should not waste semen on sensual pleasure, violating the principles of Vedic life. Restraint in sex is possible, however, only when the populace is trained in the above-mentioned 30 qualities. Right, so we say, Otherwise, it is not possible. So we say, oh no, this is not possible, and this because we're just trying to control this without developing these qualities. Right? So if we're absorbed in devotional service, we're cultivating these qualities, then all these sense control, all these things come along very naturally. Right? Because celibacy and that, these are supporting of the 21. These 21 are in support of the 9. So if we're absorbed in devotional service, being established in the 9, then the other 21 can be cultivated. Right? Then one can control. But otherwise, then it's, as Prabhupada said, impossible. So to say, oh, this is not practical, that's because the system's not understood. Have we ever heard, oh, it's not, we're having really difficulty with this, it's not practical in the community to have such standards. So therefore, you know, but it's recommended we have these standards, so then what should we do? Right? So, therefore, we should have a program in which we train all the community members in these 30 qualities. And also the importance of varnashram, so they understand how to situate themselves properly so that they can function on this human platform. Have you ever heard that as a suggestion? Right? No. But this is what Prabhupada is saying. This is the recommendation. In fact, it's imperative. Like that. If you want to, Shivananda Sen's dog went back to Godhead and he was a dog. So if you're counting on that aspect, then, but the point is the dog was absorbed in Lord Chaitanya. It wasn't out sniffing around at fire hydrants. Right? Like that. So, therefore, even a dog can go back to Godhead if they're fully Krishna conscious. Right? But we can't be a dog, claim it's the same as human, and it's the same as pure devotion. We have to be able to distinguish. That's the point here. Is one of the qualities, the ability to tell the difference, discrimination between right and wrong. Not it's just a feeling of right and wrong. It's discrimination. So with intelligence, you can tell the difference. Right? Shastra says we can tell the difference.
You can drop this question. Much, which is that I was a translator of one Shapata disciple speaking on this. He was saying that he's a Vanaprastha, but he was saying that in Vanaprastha life, his wife blamed him for not following the Bhagavad Gita regulated principle.
For not following?
For not. His wife blamed him. But he said that when he separated from her, he can perfectly follow it on his own for like 15 years. So he was saying that it was her fault. In this situation, like, how would you, like, is it like, I couldn't figure out the...
Well, how is it her fault? How, the point is did anybody ask her how she's been doing for the last 15 years? And if she says she's been doing fine also, has been celibate, then she'll say it's the husband's fault.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So it's very easy to say, you know, I'm squeaky clean, everybody else is a rat bag. You know what I'm saying? The point is that following the regular principle, what does it mean? You know what I'm saying? That's the whole idea. How to follow, what's the purpose of it? What's going on there? Because if we're talking about relationship between husband and wife, then technically sex isn't a major aspect of the relationship, so, since it's what produces children. Right? Right? Now, could we say that it would be a common... common kind of understanding that ladies kind of like romance? You know, is it the ladies who like it or it's the men who like it? You know, all the guys there with the, you know, with the tattoos and, you know, working out the weights and all that, they're really the romantic guys. Huh? Okay, so we say the ladies are. Okay? And romantic, is sex romantic? No. Romance is all the stuff before sex. So the point is if the guy's complaining about sex and then saying it's her fault, the women aren't into the sex part, they're into the romantic part. So because it was sex, that's his fault. You know, we're just adding things up here, really straightforward. Right? It's one of the 30 qualities, to be truthful. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is that all that other stuff's Maya because it's not practical. You know?
He's Maya.
Yeah, but the point is, but he doesn't deal with Maya on Maya's platform. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is the romantic aspect, that's the kind of thing, the emotional, the sensitivity, all these different kinds of things like that. That's the whole principle point. If you deal with that, then how much do you have to actually deal with sex? But if the only real close interaction between husband and wife means it has to get physical and turn into sex immediately, then how is it going to work? And then he's wondering, okay, she got the sex. Why isn't she satisfied? Because she wasn't interested in the sex. He was. So the guys always say, oh, the woman's into sex. No, the guy's into sex. The woman's into the romance. You understand? Like, let's just take from the Western paradigm. But, you know, we're not saying this is an example, but it means as an example to follow, we're just using it as an example to show the point. That before marriage, on a lot of principles, that we see generally the lady is so much more happy. You know, more active, more energetic, more, you know, like this. One is the time they spend together is more limited. But what are they doing? They're doing things together, going places, going out to dinner, going for walks, doing all these different things like that. Right? Then, once they get married, then that stuff stops. And then the man's wondering, how come she's so grumpy all the time? Right? Because all those romantic aspects are gone. Right? And then the guy wonders, how come there's no sex? So if you look at it very bluntly, you're dealing with a lot of untrained persons who really don't know what they're talking about. You know what I'm saying? And it's really nice to say, you know, for the last 15 years I've been, so it's all been her. What about if we went back 40 years? Could he say the same thing? You know, when you're old and your teeth are falling out, then you're celibate. Whoopee. Do you understand? So the point is everybody should, you know, understand their own position and therefore try to develop from their own Krishna consciousness. Don't blame things on everybody else. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Are these what 30 qualities, what you say, the Brahminical culture?
30? Yes, this is Brahminical culture. See, the Vedic culture and Brahminical culture are the same thing. We take Brahminical culture just means Brahmins. No, Brahminical culture means the Vedic system is designed so that we can understand Brahman. So therefore, the whole thing is Brahminical culture. And so these are the qualities required for Brahminical culture. You understand? If we just are interested in economics and politics, then if we don't have these 30 qualities, we will be under the illusion that we can get by quite well. But we see as in the modern society that is focused on economics and politics that it's not going on so well. Why? If you check, because of the lack of these 30 qualities. So the point is these 30 qualities make it work for all four varnas, all four ashrams. This is just a prerequisite. You have this, then you can understand varnashram. That's generally why devotees have difficulty understanding varnashram, because they may not be cultivating these qualities. Of course, if you do devotional service, they will come on their own anyway with time. But then it's only after they come, then one can see the importance. But the problem is if one hasn't been practicing it one's whole life, by the time they come, it may be a little late to learn all these. learn Varnashram. You know, you already have your system and what you like to do and something like that. That's why you train in these qualities in context with the practical, you know, practical application of the Varnashram. And as you get older, then you learn the details of it, how it works, what's the science of it. Right? So you practice the qualities, you practice the Varnashram, then you learn the technicalities of what it is, then you go on practicing that now with that full proper knowledge. That system works really well. So, okay. In the Varnashram, okay, no, he did that. Even if one is born in a family of dvijas or twice born, if they have not followed the reformatory process, he is called a dvija bandhu, not one of the twice born, but a friend of the twice born. So can't say, oh, that word devotees, we doesn't worry about this. Probably this is a general statement. This is Narad Muni to Yudhishthir. Narad Muni is a pure devotee. Yudhishthir is a pure devotee. Why would they discuss something that's not, it's mundane, especially that conversation's in Bhagavatam. Right? So this idea, we don't have to follow all these things. No. They don't mean anything to us because we don't have the human character. And that's the beauty of devotional service. Even if you're not human, you can still practice it. Right? Because if it depended, if devotional service depended upon having human qualities, how many would be devotees, right? You know, a few of the South Indian Brahmins, you know. And then it would be, you know, should they be Iyers or should they be Iyengars? You know, which ones could actually be the devotees, you know. So, yeah. The whole purpose of the system is to create good population. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, when women are polluted, the populace is Varnashankara. And when the Varnashankar population increases, the situation of the entire world becomes hellish. Because Shankara means they don't want to follow what they should do. Shankara means because it's mixed, you want to do something else. You know? So there's something of this, something of that, but how it's put together, it doesn't have the proper basis. You have the nature of one, you have the spirit of the other. Right? You're supposed to have the nature, and if you have a Brahminical nature and a Brahminical spirit, that goes together. But if you have a Brahminical nature, let's say a Kshatriya spirit, then that's a problem. Right? Because then everything's a fight. Everything's trying to establish. Everything's... So how are you going to teach? How are you going to give advice? You know? Does that make sense? You're not going to be tolerant. You're not going to be any... You can't forgive. What you expect from Brahmins. Then who wants to listen to such a Brahmin? Or if it's the other way around, you know, then it's a problem. Or if you mix it again, you have Brahminical one and then business another, or the other way around. You know, if you have a business nature but a Brahminical spirit, are you going to make any money? No. So that's the whole point.
Probably most of the
devotees. Yes. That's why Prabhupada says we made the temples so that they could live in them. Like that. I mean, the idea is we would create environments to take care like that. Okay, so, yes. So that's why Shankara is a problem. They don't want to follow rules. They just pick and choose as they like. That's the common point of the Shankara. That's why it's not recommended. So if Garbhadhan is there, the other samskaras, then you get a natural, a balanced, you know, personality, then they can develop the human qualities, follow Varnashram very comfortably. Yes?
When we have two parents who are mixes, then naturally the child will be mixed.
If the two parents are the same kind of mix, and then their child will be the same mix, so then that's better, because at least it's only that mix.
No, my point is different. So they are mixes, the child will be mixed. Then Garbhadhan, what would be the thing that it does?
You get a more purified soul to take up that mix.
So we'll be less affected by the mix.
Yeah, you'll have a better quality living entity who will then deal with the mix. It means it's not that the souls are of different qualities, they're all the same, but their consciousness, they're on their way up in the cycle of samskara, on the way down in the cycle of samskara, or they're gaining in devotional piety, or like that. So then these are the advantage of the samskaras. Because then you'll attract whatever's the best within that situation. Right? And because of that purity, then it'll be so much easier to take up. Now, if they, you know, you get them to follow, basically, then if they value these things, then if for their children there's Garbhodhan, then it becomes that much better. You know, and as the generations go, it'll just become better and better.
Did we say that Garbhodhan just, it also eliminates all the impurities that are coming from the parents? Was it?
That's true to karma. Like that. There's certain ones that remove the taint of the parents. So shaving the head, that's one. Okay.
Is it possible for someone that's not born in the samskara, born in, like, you know, a little extra family, to develop the fairly quality?
Yes, by devotional service. But the point is now when they get married, they follow the samskaras. So they don't have them, but by devotional service they develop those qualities, they see the value of it, then they follow it. You know, does that make sense? So it's a practical, and then we start from now and deal with now. This whole thing, oh, but we're not that, we can't follow all this, that's just nonsense. You know, at the same time as we're going to profess, you know, how you say, success seminars. But who goes to a success seminar? A failure. So are they all going, no, we're failures, we can't do this, we can't be successful. So why is it that whatever your background, it doesn't matter, but economically and politically and socially, you claw your way to the top and become the best, right? That's the American dream, right? But you can't do that when it comes to ashram. You can't improve your status. Oh, no, this is the way we are, what can we do? You know what I'm saying? But on the other side, no, we can change anything, go anywhere, do anything, hey, you know? So that's Shankara. Because you have such a difference in the mentalities in these different areas. That's Shankara. So when we talk about that there's so much inconsistency, that's generally Shankara. If it's just mild and it's consistent, then you can say, it means how you say, the particular inconsistencies are consistent and they're mild. You know, that's just material attachment. But when the philosophical, political, all these things are so different, that's Shankara, and the material attachment that comes with it. You know what I'm saying? So the point is if we acknowledge that Shankara may be where we're from, then we do our best within that. But if we try to justify and glorify Shankara, that we're great, we're the standard, you know, we're the, you know, Shankara is the, you know, the international standard, the universal standard, then that's actually atheistic. Because what works for the soul, that's what's universal. Right? And so the Varnashram is about how the soul can engage in devotional service connected to the Lord in such a way that's pleasing to the Lord. And you happen to engage, figure out where your consciousness falls in it. The reason most people reject it is they don't like where they end up in the process. Right? So they end up as attached grihasthas, untrained attached grihasthas who are actually untrained shudras. And who wants to be that? So therefore we apply the American maverickness and we can be anything we want. Right? Does that make sense? Therefore, all the Vedic literature strongly warn against creating Varnashankara population. When there is Varnashankara population, the people cannot be properly controlled for peace and prosperity. And everybody's trying for peace and prosperity, but the point is why can't you get it? Because the Shankara don't allow it to happen. They all talk about it, this is what we want, but they won't allow it. Right? Because if somebody else gets better, why are they doing it? The people cannot be properly controlled for peace and prosperity, regardless of great legislative assemblies, parliaments, and similar bodies. Even you put all that together, they still can't be controlled. Right? That's the whole point. Next, Sri Narad Muni describes the occupations of the four varnas in 7.5 verses. For a Brahmin, there are 6 occupational duties. Footnote 3. These 6 duties are divided into 2 groups of 3. This is where your math comes in handy. The 3 compulsory duties are studying the Vedas, worshipping the deity, and giving in charity. Like it mentioned, everybody does that. All dweejas do that. 3 for maintaining livelihood are teaching the Vedas, instructing others how to perform deity worship, and accepting charity. So only Brahmins do that. Right? Yes.
What would you say regarding the devotees in general? Because it's a Brahminical ashram, so they might not teach, they all teach the Vedas, they all instruct others to a certain level, but they not all accept charity, but just for temples.
The so point is if everybody gives a Bhagavatam class, or everybody does, you know, some worship, or shows other people how to do it, that's one thing, but doing it as a way of their being maintained, that they wouldn't. Okay. That's the difference. Means if someone can function purely on the devotional mood, which some can, then despite whatever their nature is, they can function in that Brahminical position. Like that. But that means that it's basically that has to be the main point in their whole mood and personality. So you see devotees like that. Right? Because it says, when it was giving, I forget which canto was giving the Phalashruti. And it was saying, you know, a Brahmin would become, you know, a scholar amongst the Brahmins. The king would become like the emperor. The Vaishya would become a king amongst Vaishyas. And a Shudra would become a Vaishnava. Right? Because that means, because they just transcend the whole thing. So at that point, then they just, you know, they perform their duties and they live simply and stuff like that. But the whole point is you're going to identify them as a Vaishnava. Not as a Shudra. Well, the Brahmin, you'll say, oh, he's a Brahmin, he's a Kshatriya, he's a Vaishya, but the Shudra becomes, you'll just identify him as a devotee. You know, so we have to understand where this applies. So in ashram, you have more of that because the whole is Brahminical. But that means it's within it. You're not making money out of there. Money is made in Varna. So as soon as you introduce Varna, then if you want to tell everybody what to do, great. But then you accept charity or whatever they give, and it works. You don't take the credit. You know, the guy who actually takes it, makes it work, he gets the credit. You know what I'm saying? And the guy who makes the money, he has to give in charity. You know what I'm saying? Like that. And if the government is taking, they have to give it back. Not that they just run. They have to give it back in forms that take care of the people. It has to take care of the people that are giving. Does that make sense? And if we don't want those responsibilities, we just want to come and go, then that puts us on, we're just assisting. We have to listen to the others. You know what I'm saying? But you can't just pick and choose as you like. That's the point. It's just mechanically doesn't work. So Varnashram simply explains the mechanics of how things function. You follow it, it works. You don't follow it, it doesn't work. So, yeah. A kshatriya should not accept charity, but he may perform the other five of these duties. A king or kshatriya is not allowed to levy taxes on brahmanas, but he may make his livelihood by levying minimal taxes, custom duties, and penalty fines upon his other subjects. Right, so he may do these other things, but it generally would be, it wouldn't necessarily be as an occupation. If he has to, he can do it as an occupation. But otherwise, he generally wouldn't. Like, it's not uncommon that, let's say, at least, I'm not sure of other countries, but I can say, like, in England, I think America may follow that also to some degree, is that you have retired military officers, you know, especially very big ones. Like in England, is standard the admirals, because of the armed forces, the Navy is considered the highest. And so, you know, therefore, that's why Britannia rules the waves, right? You know, it doesn't say, you know, the air or the land or stuff like that. So the waves. So therefore, then when these admirals retire, they generally become the heads of the main schools. Like that. You know, because they can relate to that. They have the practical, they can show others and all that. But it's not so much of a business thing. It's just that, you know, they get the element of their control by people listening and responding and becoming good at what they teach. You understand? So this makes me sense. So you'll find that. They could take it up as an occupation, or they may do these other ones just because it matches their personality, because Brahmas and Kshatriyas are basically the same. Does that make sense? But they can't levy taxes on the Brahmanas. They have to, and it's minimal taxes. It's taxes, custom duties, penalty fines, like that. So Srila Prabhupada comments, unless a Brahman is very... There is a footnote. Okay. Is it getting smaller? Is it
the footnotes?
Yeah, the number, is it getting smaller?
Maybe it's the light, Maharaj.
Could be. No. One thing we should probably consider is... No, because we should get more lights. Because that one's not there, those ones aren't there. Because now it's getting dark, and it will get darker. Because now it's 5. After a month, it will actually be dark, fully dark at this time. So we should stick in more light bulbs. Maybe this Saturday you can put in...
Yeah, the big ones.
Yeah, but you can put another one. And you can put a few of them. You can put on this whole side, do that, and then move these little ones over to that side. There's only two. There's two missing over there. So put the little ones that side and put all big ones here.
Okay. Then,
see if I can find them. Yeah. I don't know.
He bought them.
Yeah, you might be able to. They're not an uncommon. They like to hang one of these in their shop, you know.
Right.
You know, for the tea in the evening. You know, there's that one shop, you know, that there's like 50 guys sitting outside drinking tea. One shop.
And it's got all the light.
Yeah, so I know they must have one of these. Otherwise.
Okay. I'll
try to find
it. Okay. Unless a Brahman is very pure, he cannot accept charity from others. Because when you take charity, you take on reactions from the person who gives it. So you think, oh great, I can accept charity. Oh yeah, we're Vaishnava, we can do. But the point is, it says you have to be pure. It says very pure.
Still missed the footnote.
Okay, we'll try again. Is that what the look? I was wondering, what's the look for? Okay, footnote 4. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verses 14 and 15. To Bhagavad Arkamrichi Mala, chapter 15, entitled Analysis of Favorable Conditions for Bhakti, Bhakti Anukul Vichara, which is in the Abhideya section of the book. So 14 and 15. So here he's talking about 14 and 15 are what the Brahman Kshatriya Vaishyas do as duties. Right? So it's favorable for devotional service, that you have your duty, you follow it, it's truthful, it's honest, it's straightforward. That's why it's followed. Because otherwise, to not follow it, what are you going to replace it with?
Whim.
Yeah, it'll be whim. So how is it honest? How is it truthful? When in these days, the truth is the most important thing. Everybody has to know the truth. Going on?
Yeah.
Yes, okay, now we can go on. Okay. Srila Prabhupada comments. Maybe you have a little thing here with a, you know, a little guy there, a face with an arrow. Yeah.
Put him in your copy.
Yeah. You know, like that, he can be holding a little F in his hand, you know. Okay. Starting from again. Unless a Brahmin is very pure, he cannot accept charity from others. Charity should be given to those who are pure. Even if one is born in a family of Brahmanas, if one acts as a Shudra, one cannot accept charity. For this is strictly prohibited, right? So if someone follows the Brahminical standards, the Brahminical lifestyle, he'll be pure. But if he doesn't, that means he shouldn't be accept charity. Does that make sense?
It's because of the results that are coming from it?
Because you take reactions.
They cannot digest this?
No, they can't.
That's why?
Yeah. That's there, but also then why they should be. Because charity, since it's only meant for Brahmins, then why would they be accepting it? It means you're doing welfare work, you can do that for Shudras. You can give gifts to friends and relatives, things like this. But charity is a lifestyle that only Brahmins can do. So if one's not Brahminical, one shouldn't be doing it.
So it's a lifetime, it's a lifestyle. But if sometimes it's a kind of a charity is, you know, like they give good, those who give classes, seminars, some kind of a charity, is that the same?
To give to them?
Yes.
Well, generally because they're living the Brahminical lifestyle. Otherwise, why are they giving the class? Means if they're not living the Brahminical lifestyle, then why are they giving the class? And if somehow they are giving the class, why are you at the class? And even if you are at the class, why would you give them any charity?
So it's just occasional. It's not the rule.
Yes, it's just occasional. It's not a lifestyle. And in fact, if it's deemed inappropriate by the person receiving it, then they can just give it away to someone else. So that's the point, is if people are giving them charity and they feel charity's not for me to accept, that money should be kept for giving in charity. But they shouldn't keep it for themselves, because by giving in charity it's purified. Does that make sense? It's purified to the last person, but it means when you give in charity, then it takes your karma to the next person, but it's purified from the previous one. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So. Although the Kshatriyas are almost as qualified as Brahmins, even they cannot accept charity. This is strictly prohibited in this verse by the word apratigraha, what to speak of the lower social orders. Even the Kshatriyas must not accept charity. The king or government may levy taxes upon the citizens in various ways, by revenue duties, custom duties, realizations of fines, and so on, provided the king is able to give full protection to his subjects to ensure the security of their life and prosperity, property. Right? Because what are you taxing? You're taxing the results of their endeavor with their property. So the point is you're taking taxes so you can protect that. Right? And in doing that, he's taken care of along with it. He's not taking it to maintain himself, he's taking it to protect the citizens. And since he's part of the equation, he gets taken care of. Is that something? Right? So yeah. And so then all these probably mentions these taxes, that means there's a standard thing, you make profit, there's a certain amount that's given, like that. Custom, I say, what was the thing he mentioned about? Revenue duties, custom duties, so your general tax was mentioned, you produce something, you get a portion of that, okay? Now there's people who are not producing anything. Right? Or they're producing and they're not in a situation where you can take care of them. They're coming from somewhere else. Does that make sense? They're coming from another country to your country. They have something over in their place that's quite cheap and your country is expensive. So they come through. Now, the tax from them producing it is taken by their king. Right? And if they stay in their kingdom, they'll make their profit there, but not so much. They come to your kingdom, then they can make more profit. But you haven't taken from the production. So you take custom. Does that make sense? Custom duties. They come through your border or through the town or through the area. Then you see what they have, what it's worth. You have to consider how far it's come from, what's the effort, all the different things that have to be considered. And then the custom is levied. It's not just a straight custom. Right? Does that make sense? If something's very rare, very expensive, especially if it's come from overseas, that one you can't, that's very hard to tax. I mean, something is there, but you have to be very careful there because, to put things on your bullock cart and go over to, go across the state line, how much risk is there? But you get on a ship, the ship could sink, you could die. So therefore, you're a little more careful on, the risk factor is much greater there. Okay? Does that make sense? Then that's custom duties, right? You have taxes, you have custom duties. Then revenue means somebody's doing business trade. So they don't produce either. They just trade in it. So then what they're trading, then there's a percentage of tax you can take from that. Does that make sense? They go to the farmer, buy his stuff, and then they sell it on the market. There, that's revenue. You understand? When it comes across borders, that's customs, and you're producing it, that's tax. Does that make sense? So all three are mentioned because these are all the ways of doing it. Right? Does that make sense? So all these have different things. Right? Does that make sense? So if you're producing, that's where the 25% comes in. If you're not producing, then that's not the percentage. It'll be depending upon what you're dealing with. Does that make sense? Hmm? Yes.
But the custom CMR is supposed to increase or decrease with the risk and the effort?
It decreases. Yeah. In other words, let's say as he brought this in, he can sell it for this X amount.
Yeah.
But he's brought it from a long way, so then he's had to, feed his animals. He's had people that are going with him. He has to pay them. He has to pay all kinds of little taxes of all the little road taxes on the way. They have to stay at hotels. They have to keep their goods stored. Does that make sense? So all that put aside, let's say he's going to sell it for this much. You subtract what it is that's actually going to be his cost, the original cost and all this. Then you see what's left. Within that, then you make a tax. You don't make a tax for the overall. You know what I'm saying? So like, okay, the person, he sold this cheddar, and he sold it for 100 rupees. Right? So our concept of tax would be, we take 25 rupees. But the problem is what about all his expenses? You can only tax after you've taken out expenses because it's not profit. You can only tax profit. You can't tax investment. You understand? So that means is that if it's right here, then that's very minimal, your expenses, other than, the raw materials or what like that. But if you're transporting it and all these, then that's extra expenses. So even though he's selling it for 100, like that, but there's so much more, so the amount of profit will be less, so the tax has to be less. Does that make sense? Yeah. So these finities aren't understood. Hence, communities are not game for the temples to tax them, because the temples don't apply any form of understanding to what the process is.
Right. Yes. And technically, those who hired workers, they shouldn't be taxed.
Those who hired workers?
The workers themselves, because they do.
No, the workers shouldn't.
They don't produce, they just get. And
yeah, but they shouldn't be. It means the how do you say? See, let's say the guy makes $1,000 a month, okay, and then the government's going to take 25% tax, right? So, but technically it should be the guy who works, he shouldn't get 1,000. He should only get 750. And then he doesn't have to worry about taxes. Right? And then the businessman, he pays that 250 to the government. Understand? Because then you have one guy dealing with it, one set of taxes. How many tax people does that require? Right? In other words, if you're only taxing those who are running businesses, you know, even though there's tens of thousands, it's still a lot less than, you know, millions. So it's so much more efficient, because otherwise so much of the tax goes into maintaining those people, and so where do the people get the benefit? You could say, okay, well, they're jobs, but then why is it their job comes at the expense of this other guy? In other words, the IRS guy, he's paid for by the guy that gives the tax, but the IRS guy's whole and total being is simply how to harass the guy that's actually maintaining it. You know what I'm saying? So how is that proper? The government can't allow that. So that's why it's not done that way. You tax the businesses, you don't tax the people. Right? But if that person, he's made his little money, he goes out and buys something like that, and he goes down to the ball game and sells, you know, something at the ball game, he can be taxed for that. You know, that's revenue. You get the, you know what I'm saying? So in other words, if somebody's producing, then that can be. Does that make sense? Yes.
I was wondering, in the perfect society, what should one like? What should one like be satisfied with, and what should like be imported from outside?
Means satisfied is what you can produce.
Yes.
And imported means what you can't produce.
Right. So in the like ideal, like for example, we are up north in the Scandinavian. So we don't have certain spices from India, and like
yes, so that you import.
Right.
But then there's something that you have, like reindeer skins, that everybody else really, really needs, and then you can export those.
But for example, also like vegetables, like you know, in our country, we have a lot of this root, you know, like deep roots, like carrots, beetroot, like this, and some spinach, which is nice, and greens. But should we be like more satisfied with that? I mean, if you live on a farm, we don't have the farm yet, but I'm just.
Yeah, yeah. No, it means like it's whatever is local is what you eat. But even if you eat other things, technically it's ideal if you eat it in season. But the point is, if it's available and it's the price is all right, then why not use it? But if you're on a farm you're growing, why not just eat what you grow? The idea is that when you have many communities, because we always have to have one and do everything there, but you can have many. One produces one thing, another produces another. Like if you go up, we see it when you go on the boat up and down the Ganga. If you go village to village, you see what they produce. Somebody just, you know, produces grains. Another one produces another thing. Someone else produces vegetables. You get to one village, the whole village just does pottery. Right? So the guys who grow grains, they don't do pottery. So they trade grains for pots. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. Someone goes out into the forest, collects wood, makes their things with that. Other people get this. So that's why trade is there. But the point is what you have, that can be traded for something else. So if you can grow tons of, you know, potatoes, if you grow more potatoes than you require, you can trade those potatoes for something you don't have. Yeah, so that's the idea.
About this import, because sometimes, you know, there's long trading, you know, like
that's the thing is, but the point is first worry about that you can grow it and grow more than what you need. But until then you go to the market and what's available you buy. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't like the whole big industry, you know, import vegetables, go down to the local market and buy there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Okay. Okay, unless he can give, able to give protection, he cannot levy taxes. So it's not automatic, no, you have to give taxes. No, it's a matter of you have to take care. The point is if the administration is taking care of the people, then they would be happy to give taxes. Right? It means there's always people who aren't happy anyway. But that's another thing. That's why there's the police force, you know, for those that aren't naturally. In other words, those who haven't as yet, they're still lagging behind in developing the 30 qualities, right? So that's what the police force is for. Okay. However, a king must not levy any tax upon the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, right? Fully engaged. Right, so the Brahmanas, those who are living the lifestyle as a Brahmana, and what they get, you don't tax that because they get very minimal anyway. It's not that they charge, it's just whatever they get. And then Vaishnavas, who are fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, whatever their nature, you don't charge them. But if they're not fully engaged, they're having an occupation of Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, then they can be taxed. Does that make sense? Yes.
Why is the Kshatriyas, they accept the facilities, right?
Accept the facilities. Means, what do you mean by accept the facilities?
Like, for him to function on an administrative level, there are certain facilities like what he gets.
Yes.
To function.
Yes, yes.
So, in one sense, it is similar to accepting charity.
Why is that accepting charity? He's doing the work, he's taking the tax. And so the tax is technically, it means if it's the king, it's the government's money. So then the government maintains themselves and maintains everything with it. It means, in other words, this is the amount of money he has. Since the whole government is his responsibility, he has to see that the whole thing runs. Does that make sense? So his money may increase or decrease. Others basically has to be more steady. So if theirs is there steady, they're being taken care of nicely, and because of the nice run of the kingdom, there's even more profit, then he may have more facility. But also, the more he gets, the more he gives in charity. Because the more the Brahmins are prosperous, then the better everything works. Right? Also, they'll take care of, they'll do welfare work for those who don't have, and so, like this way, everything gets better. So he has a responsibility to see to all that. That's why it says if he's not, he must not levy a tax. Oh, no. Unless he is able to give protection, he cannot levy taxes. So that's the whole point. It's not just an occupation how to make money. It's the business of how to protect the people. So if you have politicians that are just worried about themselves, right, then they're not the ones that should be levying the taxes. It's the ones that are worried about the citizens and how that's going to work. They're the ones that levy the taxes. The others are simply taken care of. It means they're paid as a matter of course because they do their government work. Right? Does that make sense? And the government should see that they don't harass the people. Because government workers love to harass people. Because they work for the government, so, you know, I'm the big god. Right? So that makes sense. Yeah.
So that's the actual difference between a Kshatriya and a Shudra who is acting.
Yeah, and a bureaucrat. Yeah, that's the whole point. The bureaucrat's a Shudra, he's only worried about himself. Politicians generally are also just worried about themselves. You know, worried about their votes, staying in their office, maintaining status quo, and all this and that. So technically, you don't necessarily have a, the thought of beyond doesn't come. You know, like that military, the armed forces may think of protecting the country, right? But they don't manage it on a day-to-day and deal with the economics. So they may think about that. You know, you may have some administrators who worry about that. But it's not that everybody in the government thinks like that. You know, and it's not expected they will. Right? Your bureaucrats, they just do their job, all the secretaries and that. But they should understand that that is the purpose of the government, so they shouldn't get in the way of that. You know, in other words, if they do their duty nicely, they're supporting the government that's taking care of the people. But if they don't do their job, then the government's not being supported, and that people don't get the benefits. So they're actually opposed to actually the purpose of the government. Does that make sense? Yeah. Narad Muni continued, "The mercantile communities should always follow the directions of the brahmanas and engage in such occupational duties as agriculture, trade, and protection of cows." Yes, so always follow there and then and engage in such occupational. So it could be agriculture, trade, protection of cows, any two, any three. Like that. Here he doesn't mention banking because, you know, that's going to happen anyway, but it's not considered. Nowadays it's a big thing, you know, granite buildings and all that, but the standard, generally, those who do banking aren't considered great. You know what I'm saying? Like that. "For the Shudras, the only duty is to accept a master from a higher social order and engage in his service." Okay, so that's the only thing, is that work for the other three. They have activities, work for them. Working for them, then one will be taken care of. If you have people working for you, you have to take care of them. So you know what's the human standard, you see that that's taken care of. Does that make sense? You know, according to the position, according to what they do, the responsibility, everything like that. So some may get more, some less. It just depends upon what is their actual effort in the process. Does that make sense? They have a bigger family, they get more. They have a smaller family, they get less. So we see when you're dealing with the Shudras, basically it's more of a socialistic system. It's more according to the individual, right? But when it gets up, the Vaishya, then how much he can make according to the rules, there's no limit. Right? Does that make sense? Right? Brahmins, Kshatriyas, they take what they require. More than that, they give in charity, right? The Vaishya should also be giving in charity.
May I
ask now?
Because in this society, especially of where I'm from Denmark, and everybody is like, have to have the same, you know? But now you're saying, like, according to the needs of the individual.
Yeah, because otherwise, if they say everyone's the same, why not the Chinese? Then they tried that. They had one outfit. Gray pants and a gray shirt. And it was size 36. This is men's. Women's, I don't know the sizes, but men's were 36. Because generally that fits most men. And so if you were taller than that, shorter than that, fatter than that, thinner than that, you wore size 36. Everyone got the same. All the gray, the same shoes. If you were really big, because there are some Chinese that are really, you know, stocky, then they had size 42. And that was it. That's equal. So the whole thing is everyone wants equal only because they're getting more, but in other things they don't want to be equal. So the whole thing is, where is the equality? You know? Why is it the whole thing of getting more, being recognized more, and all this and that? You know what I'm saying? Some guy pretends he's talking to his wife, he gets paid $1 million to do that. Someone else is talking to his wife, and, you know, he doesn't, it probably costs him rather than, you know, he gets money. You know, so why is it because, and the one guy, it's total illusion and it goes on for 2 hours of your life. The other one, it goes on for, you know, 30 years of your life. You know, so why is it everybody's happy with that? If it's all equal, then why not make it all equal? Because the point is there is no such thing as equal. Everybody's going to be individual, just like the Brahmin, how much he keeps, how much he doesn't, the Kshatriya, how much he makes or not, the Vaishya, how much he makes or not. So the Shudra's the same. Point is what's equal is everyone's taken care of. But if you give the same amount of money to somebody who has five people in the family, or someone else who only has two people in the family, how is that equal? That's not equal. Equal means, okay, per head, per this, per that. If they want to do that, then yeah, then you want to do like that.
You
know. That's very nice. Yeah. Okay. As an alternative, okay, so now we've had That's the main duties. And that's also very simple. Right? Very straightforward. So it's not complicated. Mana will give more technical detail like that, but this is the essential point. Right? Because he's focusing on, but it doesn't mean that it's not followed. So we say, oh, we don't follow all the rules. Yeah, we follow these rules. We may not follow beyond that. But if you want to know technical meanings to it, like what I was telling before of how these things work, so we see here Narad Muni is explaining this, and then I'm giving details of that. Where am I taking the details from? That's from Manu. So the point is Manu Samhita already gives all the things, but to actually understand what's the essence of it, then what Narad Muni is giving, that's the essence. In fact, Manu says that. He says that, you know, the Brahman teaching, the Kshatriya is, what do you call it? Protecting the people, the Vaishyas creating money and giving in charity, the Shudras assisting without complaining. Right. You know, without being envious. No, but that also means you have to take care so they won't be envious. So it goes both ways. As an alternative, a Brahmin may also take the Vaishya's occupational duty of agriculture, cow protection, or trade. He may depend on that which he has received without begging. He may beg in the paddy field every day. He may collect... Okay. So this is getting to other alternatives. May depend on which he received without begging. Means he didn't ask for it, just came on his own. That's Amrita. Right? He may beg in the paddy field every day. You know, just what's left. Okay. No, that's begging. He may collect paddy left in the field by his proprietor. That's Rita. Right? Or he may collect food grains left here and there in the shops of grain dealers. So he can either Rita can either be you go to the field, pick it up from the field, what's left, or you go to the shops after they close the market, what's left on the ground, you sweep that up like that. So these are alternatives. Because these will take more time than is studying and teaching than that. Does that make sense? These are four means of livelihood that may also be adopted by brahmanas. Among these four, each of them succession is better than the one preceding it. Right? So then, Amrita is not considered good. Going out begging is considered better. Than what's left in the field or collecting here and there. So each one is considered better. Amrita is not given as a standard thing. You generally see the only ones that can follow that are Paramahamsas, that they really don't care. Right? But if one has to take care of the family, this and that, if you just sit there and do nothing and wait for things to come, then is it that you're so absorbed in what you're doing, or is it that you're lazy? You know, so that's the whole point. So to avoid laziness, you see the other ones you have to endeavor. Amrita means like the python sadhu. He doesn't care if he gets anything or not. So if he gets something, then that's the Lord's erasure. Wow. The Lord takes care. Right? See, it worked. Yes.
I was thinking here said that as an alternative, a Brahmana may also take cow protection and trade.
Yes, but it's an alternative. It's not standard.
No, it's not standard.
Yes, so it can't be say, see, Brahmins should be out there taking care of cows. No, Vaishyas are so. Brahmins are meant to protect the law. Kshatriyas are meant to protect the populace. Vaishyas are meant to protect the cows. So when the Veda was manifest, Brahmins were created to take care of it. When the people were manifest, the Kshatriyas were created to take care of them. When the cows are manifest, the Vaishyas are created to take care of them. So that's their job, naturally. Only as an alternative. If you can't make a livelihood as a Brahmin, right, then he can either take up these other activities, or he may take to these ones where he goes begging, you know, collects grains from the field, like things.
Because sometimes in order to get to the top, to the real ideal, there may be a situation where one could, like being there, we are like planning to make a farm if it is possible.
Yes, but if you can, you do. But the point is for Brahmins, a farm is only because others will live on it. If the whole point is you make a farm and the only ones living on it are Brahmins, what's the point? Because the Brahmins could do a whole lot more if they didn't live on the farm. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point, is you have to actually judge, do all the city people want to move out to the farm? And if they're willing to, then they could learn something. You could set example, you could do standard and everything like that. But if not, then what's the point? Then you find other needs. But if it's like you would rather live that, do study, do things from your place and everything, then it's fine. That's the whole point. And it means any of these are bona fide.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.